It is 6 minutes past the hour. I am so pleased to welcome back a distinguished doctor, Dr. James Harrington, vascular and endovascular surgeon at DeBora Heart and Lung Center. And this is DeBora Heart and Lung Center Presents, and we do this monthly, presented and paid for by DeBora Heart and Lung Center, and a program that has helped countless listeners with various issues that you're dealing with. And we love the partnership. It's longstanding. We were their television host for decades and radio host for decades as well. A little bit about our doctor and then right into the topic. Dr. Harrington, I mentioned, a vascular and endovascular surgeon and is board certified in both vascular and general surgery. Dr. Harrington earned his medical degree from the University of Medicine and Dentistry of New Jersey. You hear it oftentimes by the acronym UMDNJ. That's medical school in Newark, New Jersey. After medical school, Dr. Harrington completed a residency in general surgery at Drexel University College of Medicine, MCP Hahnemann University in Pennsylvania. He completed a fellowship in vascular surgery at Temple University Hospital in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Dr. Harrington's special interests include vascular and endovascular surgery, aortic aneurysms, peripheral vascular disease, that will come in handy for the next half hour, lower extremity ulcers, carotid disease. He has participated in several research projects and conducted many presentations at regional vascular meetings, a fellow of the American College of Surgeons, specialty training in vascular surgery, Temple University Hospital in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I mentioned double threat certifications, vascular surgery, general surgery, residency surgery, Drexel University College of Medicine, MCP, Hahnemann University in Pennsylvania. Special interests we've mentioned, and we'll get right into it. Dr. Harrington, welcome to your program, sir.
Good morning. Thank you, Harry. Thanks for having me, and we certainly appreciate all you've done for DeBora over the years.
Well, I appreciate you right back. And this topic is extremely important, and I know many of our listeners are dealing with this, and maybe some of them don't even realize it. And the back and forth that we'll have for this next 30 minutes will probably, you know, turn a light on for some folks that are dealing with issues that they didn't realize might be exactly what you're going to be talking about. So let me give you the opening comment. What is peripheral artery disease?
Thank you. So peripheral artery disease is basically hardening of the arteries or a buildup of plaque in the arteries where we start to get occlusion or blockages in the arteries. It's called peripheral vascular disease or peripheral arterial disease, PAD. A lay term is hardening of the arteries. So when we get it, what happens is we get plaque that starts to build up inside of the vessel. So it's kind of like a pipe. When you have water running through the pipe, if you start to build up calcium and carotid on the outside of the pipe, it's okay. The flow's still going forward. When you start to encroach in the lumen or it builds up and you get narrowing inside of the vessel, that's when you start to have a low blood flow to tissues, and then we get symptoms such as peripheral vascular disease, which can be anywhere from pain when you walk to pain at rest in the legs to wounds on the legs that won't heal in either the toes or the feet.
You know, it's all sidebar question, Dr. Harrington. These are almost on a television commercial loop. They have these things where when you're at your desk, pedal this little, it almost looks like a bicycle, but it's just like the pedal part of the bike. Mm-hmm. And is keeping moving, if you keep going and you pedal and you move, is this something that is helpful with this?
Yes, it is, and it's a big part of the treatment. There's a non-operative treatment, which is does involve walking a lot and exercise therapy, and we'll get into that a lot more a little bit later when we talk about the full spectrum of treatments that are available.
Exactly.
But keeping moving is really important for keeping our vessels open and also for conditioning our muscles to walk and stay in shape, basically.
You did a great job, as you always do, Dr. Harrington, talking about what peripheral artery disease is. How does peripheral artery disease, PAD, how does this affect the body?
So what we do know is that it's a systemic disease, so it can happen throughout the vasculature, through the whole body. So that means the heart arteries or the coronary arteries, the neck artery in your called the carotid artery. We can also get some buildup of plaque and narrowing in other vascular beds in the body, such as the kidneys also going up into the brain. We can build up some plaque in the arteries going up to the brain. So we know it's a systemic disease. So when we identify somebody who has peripheral vascular disease or some blockages in the arteries going down to the legs, we also want to investigate them to make sure they don't have concomitant narrowing in the coronary arteries or the carotid arteries. And then our treatment is, in the long term, is directed systemically at controlling cholesterol and lifestyle modification to reduce your ongoing process of atherosclerosis.
The program is Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents, and today's distinguished guest this half hour is Dr. James Harrington, talented vascular and endovascular surgeon at Deborah Heart and Lung Center. And to make an appointment, simple to do, you can telephone or you can do it from any digital device. I'll give you both ways. You can call 609-621-2080. That's 609-621-2080. Many also do it this way. It's simple to do, and you'll see the speed button access to be able to go right to the appointment request on the website demanddeborah.org. And the topic this half hour is peripheral arterial disease, PAD, peripheral artery disease, all three ways that Dr. Harrington mentioned that this is referred to. Who is most at risk for developing PAD, doctor?
So the biggest risk factor that we know of is actually age. This is very uncommon, younger than 40 years old. And then as we get older, the incidence of peripheral vascular disease goes up. That is because it's a systemic disease that builds up over a lifetime, and that's why it's so important to watch your diet and control your cholesterol and exercise in your younger years as we progress through life, because it prevents a lot of complications as we get older. So we do know that, and as far as prevalence between male and females, it's about equal in the world, slightly higher here in the United States, male versus female, but there is quite a bit of a prevalence in female population as well. We know that cigarette smoking or tobacco use is a main risk factor for development of atherosclerosis and hardening of the arteries in all of our vascular beds. So the smoking cessation and actually smoking avoidance altogether is the most important thing you can do to prevent arterial disease. And then we also know that folks that have diabetes can have an increased risk of peripheral vascular disease. Uncontrolled cholesterol and high fats in your blood also give you risk factors for peripheral vascular disease. We also know that it's more prevalent in maybe the lower socioeconomic class, but that doesn't mean that it spares anybody. We see this throughout all walks of life, races, and folks from all different backgrounds are at risk for peripheral vascular disease. So it doesn't really target any one particular person.
With some of the content that's already been shared by you, this almost sounds like it's a repetitive question, but I want to give you a chance to take a swing at this one as a standalone question. What causes PAD?
Well, it's multifactorial, so it has a little bit to do with your hereditary factors. We always want to know what's happened to your close relatives in the past. If you have diabetes, renal insufficiency, meaning kidney failure, or especially if you're on dialysis, uncontrolled cholesterol. So it's a combination of factors in everybody, and so everybody has a little bit different, but you can modify each and every one of those to help decrease your ongoing risk.
Do you find that this many times goes untreated for an extended period because people just accept, hey, I've gotten older and this is just a part of, you know, I'm older than I was, and so it goes untreated?
Sometimes yes and no. We got people can also get pain in their legs from nerve issues, either pinched nerves in their back or sciatica type pains. So there's multiple sort of things that could cause a leg pain. So that usually does bring folks to the doctor, and then it's just a matter of deciphering if it's from a neurological cause or maybe it could be from blocked arteries. So that's where sometimes it can get misdiagnosed or not treated if it's just not investigated far enough. But if people don't want to continue to go on with ultrasounds and get investigated, that might not get treated further. But for the most part, once you do get to a physician, we will investigate and see if it could possibly be from.
We only take one break during DeBoer Heart and Lung Center. We're going to take it right now. We're going to come back. We have one more power segment straight ahead with Dr. James Harrington, vascular and endovascular surgeon from DeBoer Heart and Lung Center. The topic this half hour on DeBoer Heart and Lung Center presents Dr. James Harrington is peripheral artery disease. And the next topic we're going to broach is they're all important, but this is very important as well, is what are the signs, what are the symptoms of peripheral artery disease, so that perhaps some of our listeners, you may be dealing with this, and when you hear the definitive answer that you hear from Dr. Harrington coming up in just a few minutes, it would give you the, hopefully inspire you to make that phone call to DeBoer Heart and Lung Center at 609-621-2080 to have a proper checkup. You can also do so on any digital device, your smartphones, desktop, laptops, iPads, all of it, at demanddebora.org. We'll be right back with Dr. Harrington. I am. Welcome back. DeBoer Heart and Lung Center presents Dr. James Harrington, vascular and endovascular surgeon at DeBoer Heart and Lung Center. And the topic this half hour on DeBoer Heart and Lung Center presents is peripheral artery disease. And our next important question for Dr. Harrington is, what are the stages? Are there stages of PAD, and how does it progress?
Great question. So peripheral artery disease is basically looked at in sort of in two categories. One is where you have buildup of blockages in your arteries, and when you do activity where you walk or you're doing strenuous activity, you get cramps or Charlie horses in your calves or pain in your legs with activity and walking. The second is where you get buildup of plaque in the arteries, and you get enough blockage to the feet that when you get a sore or an ulcer on your foot or an ingrown toenail, that then doesn't heal or becomes a chronic ulcer or sore. That's sort of a second category of non-healing wound. So the signs and symptoms are, first, when you're walking, if you're doing activity, you get pain with walking and cramps. So one of the differentiating things that we see between things that are neurologic in cause versus a arterial cause is when you have discomfort at rest with positions, laying down, just basically sitting, you get pain. At that point, it's more likely a neurologic problem versus when you have pain when you walk. Because what happens is you have enough blood flow at rest, and then when you start walking and do strenuous activity, the muscle needs more blood flow. It just can't get there quick enough, so the muscle starts to make some energy without oxygen, and that leads to some cramping. And so that's a symptom of peripheral vascular disease. Usually when you rest, it gets better, but then you start to walk again, and you might have the recurrent cramp. Oftentimes it is intermittent, meaning some days it's better than others, but it doesn't go totally away. Then the second category is when you develop a wound on your foot and it just won't heal. So then, you know, we really need to do something to get more blood flow down to the foot to get it to heal. So those are basically the two categories, and then we divide both of those into mild, moderate, or severe claudication or pain when you walk, and then basically mild, moderate, or severe tissue loss or infection when you have blocked arteries.
You know, when you break it down, and there's two different areas, maybe I'm being like picky on this, but people that listen to things like, if someone has cancer, oh, we got it early, stage one, you know, your prospects, you know, are really, really good and this and that. And then there's stage two and stage three, stage four. Is it called with PAD stage one or stage two, or it's just there's two stages and they are what they are?
Well, we do have a staging classification that we more use amongst doctors and people that would use it. So it's basically stages 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. So stage one is where you get mild pain when you walk. Stage three is where you get severe pain when you walk, and then, you know, the first stage of pain of wounds is where you have a very small wound with pain at rest, and then the next stage is where it gets more a bigger wound with lower blood pressure to your ankle, and then the last stage is where you have either frank gangrene or exposure of tendons and bones on the foot. So
that's how it's
graded. So. And then you can actually look at it in two categories. So even though it goes from 1 to 6, actually the first three are a little different than the last four. So if you have just pain when you walk, that's a different outcome than if you have already developed wounds. So if you have pain when you walk, you can modify your lifestyle, you can control your cholesterol, exercise, stop smoking. There's things that you can do to try to improve your outcome in the long term. If you develop wounds on your feet, the same thing. If you can stop smoking, etc., and control your diabetes, then you have a greater chance of healing your wounds. And so it's a little bit of patient factors as well once you get there. So with the wounds itself, it certainly depends on how much tissue has already died. So if you have gangrene or if you have bones exposed, that's much worse than if you have a small little circular sore that won't heal. So as far as stages go, so certainly, you know, stage six is the worst. So that's when people develop basically frank gangrene, and it's already pretty bad when they first.
Now on to another very important part of your time with us, Dr. Harrington. What treatments are available at DeBoer Heart and Lung Center for peripheral artery disease?
Awesome. So that's pretty exciting for in the world of claudication. So that's when you get pain when you walk, you have no wounds. So with that, the first thing we do is we want to recommend that you have lifestyle modification. So including in lifestyle modification is exercise therapy. So you want to walk. And so if you can walk every day and get a period of 30 minutes straight walking and without pain, that's our goal. So we want to walk every day and until it hurts a little bit, then stop and then walk a little bit more. And that's basically the idea is no, if you don't condition your muscles to be able to continue to work, then you will be deconditioned. And when you try to walk, you're going to end up having pain and discomfort. So the exciting news is that we do know that when people have we tell them to walk, they have difficulty doing it on their own. So we know that there is, if you will, walk with supervised with a physical therapist on a treadmill, that if you do supervised exercise therapy, you'll have a better outcome as far as being able to walk farther and have less pain and actually stick to your exercise program. So the bar, we do have a exercise program that we can enroll folks in when they have the beginning stages of peripheral vascular disease, and then that's 36 sessions with our physical therapist where you walk on the treadmill, and it's a graded program where you increase your workload, and we also look at physiologic data at the time where we look at what your basically your blood pressures at your ankle are at the beginning of the period, and then we go till the end of 36 weeks and see what we've changed, if we can increase the blood pressure and your exercise tolerance, and then we try to instill that into the patient's life as they go forward so that they then take over and do some of the exercise on their own. And we know that it works much better when we have supervised exercise. So that's exciting because it's reimbursed now. You can get it reimbursed by insurance, so we just have to get folks enrolled when they're interesting. So that's exciting.
Oh, without doubt. Go ahead.
Other than that, so then we do systemic therapy where we target anti-cholesterol, you know, so people go on statin medications. We know that statin medications decrease our risk of coronary artery disease, heart disease, stroke, as well as peripheral vascular disease. And then we modify diabetes and hypertension. If we can control that any better, we do. And then we get to where we then have potential for invasive therapies. So invasive therapies that we offer here at DeBoer are both endovascular therapy with arteriograms and balloons and stents and what we call atherectomy, which is basically rotor on the inside of the arteries. And we also offer surgical therapy, including bypasses on the legs, much like a bypass in the heart. We use a vein and we sew it into the groin artery, and then sometimes we bypass it down to the arteries down in the foot or in the calf, wherever we need to go to supply more blood flow. So both endovascular, minimally invasive, as well as surgical therapy sometimes involved.
And to make an appointment, you can call 609-621-2080 to Devorah Heart and Lung Center, or digitally, you can make your appointment at demanddevorah.org. This would be fantastic if the answer is yes, but it's an important question regardless. Can PAD be prevented?
It can be prevented, yes. Can it be totally prevented? No. So we do know that it's the hardening of the arteries or buildup of plaque and the atherosclerotic process seems to happen in humans, and we know that from autopsy data as we go, and we can see that it's starting to happen in young individuals. So what we need to do is basically a healthy lifestyle throughout our whole life, which we always hear about, which is healthy diet, right? Low cholesterol, avoid processed foods, no smoking. And then if you have diabetes, definitely you got to control your diabetes, and then modify your cholesterol as well. So the timing of when to begin people on the statin medications, meaning how old in your life, we're not really sure when folks should start on that, because just like any medications, some medications can have side effects. So not sure when we want to start people on, if it's the fourth decade, fifth decade, or when we see people that start to develop the blockages in the artery. So we'll see as we go forward with that. And then we also treat with medication to inhibit platelets, which is such as aspirin, a simple aspirin a day, actually. We recommend them going forward. So those are some real important things.
Is that simple aspirin a baby aspirin, Dr. Harrington, or more?
A baby aspirin.
Got it.
Yeah. So, and that also should, is we, when do we start that? When should we recommend that, early in life or a little bit later? So right now, currently, probably a little bit later in life for daily aspirin. So lifestyle modification is the most important thing that you can do to prevent hardening of the arteries.
Can PAD be reversed?
It can't be reversed, but it can be stabilized. So if we identify that you're building up plaque, well, then we want to stop that plaque process. We'll start you on statins and get you to stop smoking, control your diabetes. So it takes a lot of patient participation, too. Patients have to be motivated to do it, really stop smoking and really get control of their diabetes. And so a lot of patients do. Some patients don't. And then when you help out yourself is when you get the greatest benefit going forward in treatment.
If someone is an excellent patient and they realize the severity and they do the things you're saying, if they smoked, they stop smoking, eat more heart healthy, more healthy in general, mm-hmm. as you said, avoid the processed foods and things like that, can you keep PAD at a level that it does not progress?
Yes, you can. So we can get people to stabilize and not get any worse. When you get wounds on the feet or ulcers, that's a little bit of a different story. You have to get blood flow down there so that wound heals. So you can't have an open wound for a prolonged period of time. It just keeps getting worse and worse. So when you get a wound, if we can get the wound to heal, that's much better as far as for long-term prognosis. So, yes, you can kind of halt the disease and then treat it as go forward. But long-term consequences, do build up. So,
we have been visiting with Dr. James Harrington, vascular and endovascular surgeon for Devorah Heart and Lung Center. You can make an appointment, request your appointment, by either calling 609-621-2080 or digitally. You can do it on any digital device, demanddevorah.org. Anything in closing, Dr. Harrington, that you would like to share?
Well, thank you so much for having us, Harry. We certainly appreciate it here at Devorah.
Appreciate you, sir. Until we meet again.
All right. Thank you, Harry.
You're welcome. Thank you, Dr.